From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
I'll flip your Bergens to help me. I'll mow you down.
Sunday night, and time again transcribed for Edna Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, with Mortimer Sturd, Effie Clinker, Jerry Crosby, Francis Bergen, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellomen, yours truly, John Easton, and our special guest, exchange student, Erlyn Morgenstern. And here he is now, Edgar Bergen.
Good evening, everybody. You know, it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, Mr. Bergen, here I come.
Now, careful, Mortimer. Watch your step there. Now, look out for those drums over there.
That was quite a trip, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mortimer, that's certainly clumsy of you to do that. Now, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, let me see. What is that word you say when you hurt yourself? Oh, yeah, ouch, yeah, ouch. Oh, yeah.
Now, just what happened? How did you fall?
I don't know how it happened. I guess I was walking too close to the floor.
Maybe you... When you stumble, you should try to recover your equilibrium.
Why, is that thing uncovered again?
No.
I kind of felt a draft, sure.
Well, things are always happening to you.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone quite as clumsy. Everything you do seems to be awkward.
Reckon you're right. Even when I milk my cow Bessie, I get things all tangled up, too.
Is there? Mortimer, you could get rid of your awkwardness if you could learn proper balance.
Yeah.
Now, how do you walk?
Well, with my feet mostly, I know.
Your feet, they don't hurt you, do they?
Oh, no, no. No, not anymore now, since I stopped biting my nails, I...
Well, you'd walk much better if you held yourself correctly. Now, how about your posture?
Say, how about that? Yeah,
well,
I mean...
Well, your posture is your carriage.
Oh, I see. That's what it is, yeah.
Now, what's wrong with your carriage?
Oh, I don't know. I got a busted axle somewhere.
Well, the idea is you must sort of learn to walk with grace.
All right. Is she lonely?
Yeah, all right. You know, dancing would get you over your awkwardness quicker than anything. Do you dance at all, Mortimer?
Well, now, I'll tell you. I ain't no exhibition waltzer or anything like that, but I have done the turkey trot.
The turkey trot?
Yeah. But I gave it up.
I see. Why did you give up the turkey trot?
Well, I found out the turkeys would rather dance with each other. Oh, they...
Haven't you ever danced with a girl?
You mean a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, never, no.
You know what girls are, don't you?
Well, they're the ones that dance backwards, aren't they?
Yeah.
I did once.
You did once?
Yeah. She was so fat, I felt like a sardine trying to rustle a whale.
Is that so? You couldn't lead her.
Oh, heck no, I couldn't lead her. I just sort of went along with the tide.
Maybe you'd find more enjoyment in folk dancing.
Oh, there's no fun dancing with your folks. All right.
Well, I've made up my mind. For your birthday, I'm going to give you a gift certificate for dancing lessons at Arthur Murray.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Bergen, but I don't think I need any dancing lessons. You don't? No. I'm gonna get over my clumsiness. I'm just gonna practice.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. I'll work on it.
Well, that's fine.
Well, I gotta be going now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mortimer.
Oh, my feet, they goofed again.
Well, sometimes I wonder about that, Mortimer.
Hello, Edgar.
Well, Gary Crosby. Say, Gary, I caught the show at Ciro's last night, and I thought that little bit you did was terrific.
Well, thank you very much, Edgar.
Yes. Has your father been in to see the show yet?
Not yet. He's saving up for a tie.
Oh. Well, I'm going to see him in the morning. I'll tell him that you were a hit.
Oh? Where are you going to see Dad?
Well, you see, Bing and I, we've been going to the same barber for years.
Didn't do much for you either, huh?
Took care of some of the taxi. Yeah. Well, now, Gary, now let's not ruin the illusion for our radio audience. Now, you go ahead and sing, will you?
Hey, when the red robin comes bobbing along, well, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Why don't you wake up, you sleepyhead? Get up, and get out of bed. Cheer up, cause the sun is setting. Live, love, laugh, and be happy. What if I've been blue and now I'm walking through the fields of flowers? Well, the rain may glisten, but still I will listen for hours and hours. Well, I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red revolving comes bobbing along.
When the red robin comes,
bobbing along,
there'll be no more
sobbing
when he starts
sobbing
his old sweet song. Wake up.
Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up and get out of bed. Cheer up, cause the sun is red. Live, love, laugh, and be happy now. What if I've been blue? Yeah, now I'm walking through the fields of flowers. Well, the rain may glisten, but still I will listen for hours and hours. Well, I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin comes, bob, bob, bob it along.
Once again, it is time for the literary portion of our program, our Poet's Corner. This week, we are honored in having with us as our special guest, the Poet Laureate of Thrifty's Drugstore, Professor Oliver Wendell Kirkwood.
Good evening, you're Professor Kirkwood.
That's right. Here's my card.
Oh, thank you. Professor Oliver Wendell Kirkwood. Poet supreme, philosopher unmatched, lyricist incomparable. Also, unemployment checks forged while you wait.
Wrong card.
Professor, maybe you'd better tell us a little about yourself. Just what led you to become a poet?
Well, I've had a hard life.
Yes.
And my parents have always been poor. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I'll never forget when I was a little tot.
You must have been a bouncing boy.
Oh, no. Whenever they dropped me, I went right through the floor.
Naturally. Anyway, as you were saying, your parents were very poor.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah. When I was a baby, they couldn't even afford talcum powder.
Oh.
Mom had to sprinkle me with old Dutch cleanser.
That sounds rough.
Oh, you have no idea. You know, until I was 18, I didn't know if I was a boy or a kitchen sink.
Yeah. Well, you must have been a sink because you still have the pot here.
Oh, I still have the pot.
Yes, I believe that.
You're talking with that double boiler you got.
I think we'd better get back to your story now. How many are there in your family, Mr.?
Well, I had 28 brothers and sisters.
28 children?
That's right. Oh. You see, Dad didn't get along with Mother. So we tried to get lost in the crowd.
It is a hard way. Well, anyway, I can see that you haven't had an easy life.
Oh, it was a struggle all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Until just a few months ago, then I got lucky. I made a fortune with a new labor-saving device.
Oh, yes? What was it?
A rich old widow.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
I like it.
Yeah. But now to get back to the subject, Professor, when did you first turn to poetry?
Well, one day while I was in solitary. playing solitaire.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, I got the sudden urge to write, so I grabbed a piece of paper and scribbled down my first poem.
I see. Your first poem. What was it like?
Oh, it was just beautiful. Uh-huh. It had such a tender story, all about a midget who played a tuba and how he got sucked in.
That does sound tender. And it's been very nice chatting with you. And now we're all waiting to hear your latest poetic inspiration. Professor, the floor is yours.
Oh, please, I'm not that old.
Well, no.
I mean, the poem.
Yes. Ode to Marriage. Most married people fight a nag, a thing which I deplore. I'm glad to say I have a wife I cherish and adore. We're the only pair on record still living with their mates, devoid of animosities and jealousies and hates. We are an ideal couple, just a husband and a wife who've solved the secret of success in matrimonial strife. The reason why we get along in sweet connubial bliss is because we're never stingy with a compliment or a kiss. She never flies into a rage, he's always in the pink, and never green with jealousy, which spoils most wives, I think. We do not fight or argue, we'd much rather kiss. Side by side, we trip through life in never-ending bliss. We are a happy married couple. Our love so warm it melts. Ah, yes, we two are married, but each to someone else.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Carol Richards, our regular vocalist, away on a vacation this week, I spent a lot of time trying to find another equally talented singer to fill in. Then the thought came to me, Desi has his Lucy, George Burns has his Gracie, Jack Benny has his Mary. So why shouldn't I use my wife and keep down the budget a little bit too, you see? So here she is now, after a singing tour which included engagements in Montreal, St. Regis, New York, and the Hotel Riverside in Reno. Frances Bergen.
Thank you. Hello, Edgar.
Well, it's nice having you drop in on us. You know, you're my favorite singer.
Well, thank you, dear, but I won't be able to stay long.
Can't stay long? What's the matter?
Well, I have a surprise for you. Jack Benny just called, and he wants me in his TV show, and he's going to pay me.
Well, that is a surprise, yes. Tell me, would you like to sing on my show regularly?
Well, my agent advised against it.
Oh, he did? Why?
Well, he said I have a career to think of.
Yeah.
But I'll do it just this once.
You are a dear. Well, you see how wonderfully well we get along. We always compromise. I remember last month I wanted to buy a new car. Frances wanted a new fur coat, so we compromised, didn't we?
That's right. So we compromised.
Yeah, she got the new fur coat, and we keep it in the garage. Yeah. Well, now, honey, what are you going to sing for us?
That's what I like.
Yeah, I know, but what are you going to sing?
That's what I like.
Oh, I see. Wonderful. Well, the microphone is yours.
Thank you. Kiss me, baby. That's what I like. Hug me, pet me, baby. That's what I like. You don't have to give me clever conversation. I just want affection, not an education. Kiss me. da, la da, la da 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 da. I like it. I like it. We don't have to fly to some romantic place. Just as long as I can stay in your embrace. Kiss me, hold me, pet me, baby. That's what I want you to do.
That was my wife. That was.
Oh, that was fine, Francis. That was just wonderful. Consider your allowance raised.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
reasonably so.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Charlie McCarthy.
Please, Mr. Heaton, there. Not today. No, I'm just not up to doing your show.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Oh, don't jump at me like that. You startle me, Bergen. Can't you see? I'm just a bundle of nerves tonight. Just nerves. Just twitching nerves. See, there I go again. See?
Yeah. Well, what in the world's the matter with you, Charlie? You look a little worried. What's the matter?
Well, I tell you, I am worried.
Yes, you certainly have a worried look on your face.
Well, where else could I have it? Well, I'm worried all over, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an awful thing. You see, I just had a terrible dream last night.
Yes.
Oh.
I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Dreams should never upset you, though. You know, the other night I had a serious dream. You can't imagine what I thought I was.
A good ventriloquist?
No.
Oh, but this wasn't just a dream. This was a nightmare. It was awful.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason to be frightened at all. All you have to remember is that the dreams and reality are almost inseparable. You've heard of the philosopher who dreamed that he was a butterfly?
And broke his leg chasing after the birds and bees?
No. When the philosopher awoke, he said last night, I was a man dreaming I was a butterfly, but this morning, I'm a butterfly dreaming I'm a man.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, well, either way, I think you ought to drop the net over him.
Yeah.
Cheerio, pip, pip, tally ho, and all those ridiculous statements we British are supposed to make.
Yeah.
Hold the net. Here comes another one.
Oh. Ray, you'll have to excuse Charlie. He's very upset about a bad dream that he had last night.
Really, yes. You know, I had a terrible dream myself last night.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. All night long, I dreamt I was being chased by blondes. Hundreds of blondes.
Well, what's so bad about being chased by blondes?
My dear boy, these were blonde elephants.
Oh. Get the net, boy. All right. You know, this is almost as bad as a nightmare.
Yeah, well, I wish I could tell you about the... Well, I guess it's right. Well, you certainly haven't got it right now. No. I wish you would tell me what your nightmare was about, Charlie.
Well, now, you first tell me something, Bergen. Do you believe that dreams foretell the future?
Oh, definitely, yes. Oh, I once had a great uncle who dreamed he became a nut Sunday.
And he did?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, he became a nut Tuesday. Now, you see, that was the day they took him away. Oh, I do miss him.
Well, Adam, don't you worry, you'll probably join in.
Charlie, why were you worried about your future? Was your nightmare a bad one?
Well, yes, I dreamed I cashed in my chips.
Oh, Charlie, you don't mean you overturned the receptacle?
Yes, that is kicked the bucket, yes.
You mean you dreamed that you passed on?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yes. Well, I don't blame you for being down in the dumps.
Yeah, but in the dream, I was in the lowest dumps of all.
Oh. Good heavens.
Boy, have you got the wrong direction, are you?
You don't mean Charlie? Oh, not my little Charlie.
Yeah.
You mean you went to...
Well, it wasn't Disneyland.
I don't know what to say.
Well, we'll just say I went to the unhappy hunting ground.
I tell you, boy, couldn't you be just a little more specific?
Well, not stay on the air, no. Let me put it this way. You know how I used to like to visit all the hot spots? Well, last night I hit the jackpot.
You can't mean that you actually were there.
Let's face it, Bergie. I was a wetback from the River Styx. Oh,
I think, pardon me, old thing. Did you say the River Styx?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if it does, why don't they oil it?
I was a... Ooh! You know, it almost makes the other place enjoyable now.
All right. Golly, I'm just annoying. Just what happened to you in this awful dream?
Well, you see, Satan asked me to tell all the bad things I'd done.
Well, what did you tell him?
Well, I refused to answer on the grounds that he might incinerate me.
Yes, I...
really, child, oh boy. Are you trying to make us believe you actually spoke to Satan?
Well, sure. Don't you believe that there is a devil?
Oh, well, hardly, old boy. I mean, it's like Santa Claus. It's your father.
No.
But tell me, Charles, what did you think of the place down there in general?
Well, just to get an idea, I'll tell you. Take it from me, it's nothing but a fire trap down there. And there's more firing down there than on the Arthur Godfrey show. Yeah, you don't know the half of it, Bergen. The punishment they give you is just awful. You have to listen to the radio all day.
Yeah. What's on the radio? Frost warnings. Oh, I...
The real bad cases are show.
I see.
You should see the TV shows they have down there.
TV?
Yeah. Toast of the Town, E-Parade, Burns and Allen, Sear It Now, and I Love Lucifer.
All right. Now, tell me something. Don't you know what good, clean living is?
No, what good is it? Well,
Listen to your conscience.
It's no use.
Why?
I got bad reception. I live in the fringe area.
All right. I'm trying to point out something to you, Charlie. Of course, you know what made you dream like that.
No, but I got a hunch. When I woke up, I noticed the control on my electric blanket had moved from rare to well done.
Well, I hope you've learned a lesson from this and decided to denounce Satan.
No, Bergen, I'm in no position to antagonize anybody. Who knows, I might have to go back there someday.
That is terrible.
It wouldn't be too bad. I could make a fortune down there smuggling in electric fans. The place is just crying for a sprinkler system.
Yes.
Oh, there'll be a hot time in the old town.
The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, and Ray Noble will be back after station identification.
From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Gary Crosby, Carol Richard, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to a portion of our program in which I'm sure we will all be interested, our How to Stay Young department. And here to let us in on her secret of eternal youth is that perennial girl just back from a 2-week refresher course with King Farouk, Miss Effie Clinker.
How you do? Oh, in my black denim trousers and my motorcycle boots. Whoop!
Well, I think we have the terror of Highway 101.
That's all right.
Yeah. And how are you, Miss Clinker?
Well, I've still got plenty of mileage left in me, thank you.
You're sure you have?
Yeah, of course, pretty sure.
Well, that's good.
Of course, sometimes I get the feeling that my speedometer has been tampered with.
Yes, I do. Well, how old are you, Effie?
Well, I'm old enough to know what the score is.
Yes.
And still young enough to want to get in the game.
I see. Well, Miss Clinker, now that you're here tonight, you're here to advise the audience on how to stay young. Isn't that right?
That's right, uh-huh. Don't forget, girls, no matter how old you are, you can still be somebody's dreamboat.
Yes.
Even though your anchor is dragging and your cargo has shifted.
Well, then, in other words, Effie, your advice to the women is, if I get it right, is never give up.
That's right. Never give up.
Yeah.
The flame may be out, but the ashes can still be warm.
I say, pardon me, old girl, but would you say that I'm a good example of keeping young?
Well, let's put it this way, Mr. Noble.
Yes.
You're in wonderful shape for the shape you're in.
Yes. Well, thank you. That is to say, I think.
Yes. Mm. Well, nothing about it.
Now, Effie, do you feel this advice you're giving really works?
Oh, it must. I have proof.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes. Take one woman I've been advising. The other day she died.
I see.
But at the age, mark you, at the age of 110.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
She died?
Yes.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But 110.
110.
Yes. But the baby lived.
The baby, I see.
My uncle.
Yes.
You take him. I wish it would.
Yeah.
He just died.
Oh, he died?
Yes, he died too. But at the age of 114.
114?
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. 114. Yeah.
What killed him?
Women and liquor.
Women? Women and liquor killed him?
Yes. He couldn't get either one, so he gave up.
Yes. Can you be a little more specific, Effie, about this? For instance, is there any medicine a person can take to stay young?
Yes, there is. I seem to feel youngest after I take some of my dandelion wine tonic.
Yes.
Yes. But you must watch it, honey. You must watch it.
Yes.
Sometimes it makes the floor slide out from under you.
I say, seriously, I imagine diet must be important, too.
Do you?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, in fact, my doctor said I should take all my meals at home. Of course, I can't stand the expense.
Why not?
Well, my home's in England, old girl.
You know, after that joke. I would like to marry him.
Yes?
Just to get even with him.
No. Miss Bleeker.
Yes?
Will a diet of blackstrap molasses, wheat germ, and yogurt make you live longer?
It just makes it seem longer.
And I imagine you recommend exercise to keep young.
Yes, of course, of course, of course, of course.
Yes.
For instance, this morning I touched my chin to the floor without bending my knees.
Without bending your knees?
Yes.
Yes.
How on earth did you do that?
I fell out of bed.
You fell out of bed?
Yes.
Well, I would say a little too much dandelion wine.
No, who snitched?
I see. Do you have any other recommendations, Effie?
Well, probably the best way to keep young is by looking in the mirror every morning and saying, I'm getting younger and younger.
Yes. And does it work on you?
Well, no, not on me. You see, I know what an awful liar I am, you know.
Well, our time is up, Miss Flinker. Do you have any final word for this lovely audience?
Yes, I do. My advice is, whether you're young or old, keep smiling. Just keep smiling. It makes everyone wonder what you've been up to.
Good night.
Now the Mellow Man bring us My Bonnie Blue Gal.
Where I long to be, but I love the Bonnie Blue Gal who gave her heart to me. I found a little honey who thrilled me through and through. Roses in her golden hair and dressed in pearly blue. I'm always thinking of her wherever I may be. But I love the Bonnie Blue Gal who gave her heart to me. Her arms, her arms.
Back to see
our sweetheart, the Bonnie Blue Gal who gave her heart to me. Her arms, her arms, are where I want to be. But I love the Bonnie Blue Gal who gave her heart to me.
Gonna quit my wandering, I'm gonna settle down, and find a little house for us way out beyond the town. I'm gonna get us in there and throw away the key. Love, love the Bonnie Blue Gal who gave her heart to me.
Her arms, her arms.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our Meet the People department, where each week we try to bring you interesting and unusual personalities. Tonight, we will meet a very lovely foreign exchange student from Oslo, Norway, Miss Irlen Morgenstierna.
Good evening, Miss Morgenstierna. Am I pronouncing it right, Morgenstierna?
That's right, Mr. Bergen. You pronounced it perfectly.
Well, thank you. Morgenstjärna. In Swedish, that means morning star. Well, tack så mycket.
Oh, Mr. Bergen, I didn't know you spoke Swedish.
Oh, yes, I speak Swedish. Yes, my goodness, jumpin' me. I was on an expedition once. We were cruising along 20 or 30 knots there. Then the propeller became unscrewed, you know. Yeah, that was a thing. Now, tell me, Miss Morgenstierna. Morgan, that's a long name, Morgenstierna.
Why don't you just call me Lynn?
I thank you. You may call me Eddie Boy. tell us a little about yourself, Lynn, will you?
Well, my mother was a university teacher of languages, and she met my father in France. I was born in Oslo and lived there, except for 1 year when I went to school in England.
My, you must have as many travel stickers as Secretary Dulles. Now, just what are you studying here at the University of Southern California?
Well, since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to become a physician. But in Norway, it is required that the doctor have all A's.
Mm.
So now I'm here studying to become a physical therapist or gym teacher.
Then I take it you like sports, and of course you must ski, don't you?
Oh, yes, I love to ski. And I'm very proud of a boyfriend back home. He's Pierre Dolan, and I just had word that in the tryouts of the 1956 Olympics, he was named the number one skier on the Norwegian team.
Well, this Pierre, is he a special boyfriend of yours, Lynn?
He's pretty special.
Yeah.
But I go off on dates here.
Oh, that's good. Ava, move my chair a little closer now. In comparison, what do you think about Norwegian and American boys? Are ours pretty wild, would you say, compared to Norwegian boys?
Oh, no. It's just the opposite.
Oh, cheers.
Mm-hmm. Boys here are very polite and mannerly. Back home, it's quite different. Girls and boys are more on equal terms.
Well, in what ways?
Well, in just about everything. For instance, I'm not used to having the car door open for me, and I always forget. So usually when my American date comes around to help me out of the car, he finds me already standing in the street.
Pumping up a tire.
It's getting embarrassing.
Yeah.
Then the boys... Then the boys here help me on you on with your coat and things like that.
Where are you meeting these boys? Anyway, I take it you like American hospitality.
Oh, I love it.
Good.
It's wonderful to have your date come to your house and pick you up and take you wherever you're going. In Oslo, if you go to the movies, you get downtown by yourself and meet in front of the theater.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't tell me. Let me guess. You pay for the tickets.
Oh, no. We go Dutch.
Go Dutch. What else? Certainly, Al. I will say one thing. You're not spoiled. I'd like to take you home and have you talk to my wife. It would never work. It would... Just one word, no.
Actually, going out Dutch has certain advantages. Over here, if a boy doesn't have money, he hesitates to ask you for a date.
Mm-hmm.
Back home, he just asks you out for a walk or perhaps to go sailing.
And then when he gets out on the lake, your sailboat runs out of wind or something like that. That's the old story. Lynn, how do you enjoy your dates then? Over here, you do enjoy them, of course.
Oh, well, I get embarrassed when the boys here have to pay the whole evening.
Yeah.
They don't let me pay for anything.
Oh, what a shame. Well, now that you've met me, your worries are over. I'll take you out for a non-embarrassing evening. Now tell me, Lynn, are you chaperoned as much here as at home?
That's another wrong idea people have, Mr. Bergen. Back home in Oslo, we're completely unchaperoned.
Oh, no. Are you sure you weren't sent here by the Norway Travel Bureau? You must have quite a social life back there.
Well, we start dating at about the age of 12, 13.
Sure.
And sometimes I think the boys are too wild when they're that young.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be better until they wait until they're around 14 or 15 and then slow. Tell me, do you have any games over there like Pony Express, you know, games like that?
Pony Express?
Well, it's like post office with more horsing around. You know?
Oh, yes. We do have our kissing games.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is, until the boys grow up and become interested in sports. Then they usually go on training.
I see.
They stop smoking and drinking and settle down.
Now, at what ripe old age does this happen?
When they're about 19.
19, yeah, they settle down. Imagine a has-been at 19. Well, it's a short life, but a merry one, I guess. Lynn, I'm afraid you're making life sound far too attractive in Norway, and perhaps we'd better say goodnight before all the young men in our audience get ideas of leaving home and heading for Oslo. So I want to say thank you, Miss Lynn Morgenscherner, for being with us tonight, and lots of luck in your studies at the University of Southern California. My, now, wasn't she sweet? I tell you, those Scandinavian girls, they certainly have something. You know, and they like to go Dutch, too. You know, I wonder if I...
Edgar,
Oh, yeah, no, I forgot.
Hiya, darling, hi. What's new?
Well, I was just waiting for you to introduce my second number.
Oh, yes. I've been thinking it over, Francis. Next time we go out, we're going to go Dutch. I'm only going to pay for myself, that's all.
That's right. That's all you have to do because I won't be with you.
Ah. Well, that's what you get. Put them in the show and then they get independent right away. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Frances Bergen and Gypsy in My Soul.
If I am fancy free, and I love to wander, it's just the gypsy in my soul. There's something calling me from way out yonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul.
It's that gypsy again.
I've got to give vent to my emotions. I'm only content having my way. Cause there is no other life of which I'm fond of. It's just the gypsy in my soul. If I was lost way out yonder, it's just the gypsy in my soul. From Savannah to forget me, if you see me acting, I guess I got a little bit of gypsy in my soul.
Gentlemen, once again, it is time for the cultural portion of our program. Tonight, our forum of intellectual giants will enter into the eternal argument that is close to all our hearts and pocketbooks, whither women's style. And here to bring you the benefit of their brains are Edgar Bergen and his end table.
Thank you. And good evening, honorable and esteemed gentlemen of the panel.
Hiya, kid. What's new?
Gentlemen, we are here to discuss one of the most controversial topics of the day, women's styles. Most of our styles come from Paris.
So I went to Paris once. Why did I have a time? He should have seen me, plastered in Paris.
Professor Noble, let's start with you.
Yes,
are you in favor of women's clothes?
Definitely not over. Oh, my legs aren't pretty enough.
Oh, after that one, I know I'll hate myself in the morning.
Why not start now and I'll help you?
Now, please, we're discussing women's styles, and I commented that most of them come from France. Now, Professor Snerd, would you like to elaborate?
No, I feel fine, thank you.
I feel... Now, for instance...
Well, what did you say?
I'll give you an illustration.
Oh, okay.
Last night, my wife was wearing a Dior.
Oh, what?
A Dior.
How'd she get it off the hinges?
Well,
all right.
Okay, we're allowing a vein of lightness to creep into this forum here. A Dior is a couturier, like Memboche, you see, and Balenciaga.
Oh, no! Well, can't they take shots for that?
No. Couturier is a man dressmaker.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's ridiculous, old boy. I mean, after all, how many men wear dresses?
Yeah. Let's go on. There's one important question we ought to resolve, and that is, are the latest styles in women's dresses too revealing? My, he is getting on, isn't he?
Yeah.
What I mean is that there has been quite a trend towards off-the-shoulder dresses, plunging necklines, split skirts, low backs, bare midriffs.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you know, as a countryman of mine once said.
Yes.
Never before in history have so many bought so little to cover so much.
Yes.
That was really a bibful.
Well, now, let's be a little more specific in our comments. Now, how about the plunging neckline?
Yeah, how about them?
Yeah, no. I mean, do you gentlemen approve of a plunging neckline?
Why, of course. Well,
I've never seen anything like it myself.
Well, 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 I love it.
The more the better.
Yeah, yeah, I see.
Well. But if you're speaking of plunging necklines, I should say that the eyes have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The eyes have it. Do you get it?
Yeah, I
want
it.
We get it, but we don't want it. Yeah, now take my wife.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would.
No.
She just bought a new dress with a bare midriff.
No, that's midriff. Midriff.
Yeah. You haven't seen my wife's figure, boy. It's rough.
Look, just exactly what is wrong with her shape?
Well, nothing, if you like avocados. She has one of those hourglass figures.
Oh, yes, lovely.
The only trouble is the sand stopped at 6:30.
You mean it's starting to get a little lumpy?
You can see her in slack. When she walks down the street, it looks like a couple of cats trying to fight their way out of a burlap bag.
I'm losing my composure. You want a safety pin? No, I
don't. We must get back to our discussion of styles. Now, Mortimer, for an example, you see that girl in the front row?
Yeah.
Well, now you take her dress.
Oh, please, Miss Dobber.
Why, you sly old dog,
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I'm trying to make a point.
Okay, you're a painter. Who's got the knife?
No. Let me put it another way. Mortimer, what style of dress does your girlfriend like to wear?
Well, she doesn't wear a dress. She wears a bell.
A bell?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a cow.
That's right, yeah.
Well, we're back to my wife again. Oh, I'll never forget the first time my wife wore a French bathing suit.
Well, what happened?
France dropped out of the United Nations. I hadn't planned on that. I must interrupt you and say I'm fed up with your wife.
Me too, boy.
Gentlemen, we're taking this subject entirely too lightly. Now, can't anyone say anything on this subject?
Well, if it'll help you any, old boy. A girlfriend of mine just bought one of those new cocktail dresses.
Oh, a cocktail dress, yes, yes. And they're getting quite popular.
Oh, yes, yes. And you should see her in it. She's quite a shaker.
You should see my wife in her cocktail dress.
Yeah.
All hangovers.
No, no.
I'm ready to give up.
Well, don't just sit there.
Gentlemen, in case you've forgotten, we're having a forum on women's style.
Oh, yes, that's quite right, yes. Apropos of the subject, did you hear the one about the wife who said to her husband?
No.
Darling, look at the new dress I bought today.
Yes.
You see, it's got a bare midriff, a low neckline, it's backless, it's strapless, and oops, I forgot to put it on.
Oh, yes.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, call Dr. Scholl the corn's popping tonight. Yeah.
You know, that was a British joke. Didn't I pick a Billy?
Oh, don't mind him, though. He just had a brainwashing and it shrunk.
Please, gentlemen, please. I feel compelled to state that this vituperation and this calumniation is completely reprehensible, and I think...
Shut up.
Gentlemen. That's the final buzzer. Our time is up. Professor Noble, would you like to sum up our discussion on women's styles, please?
Why, yes, of course, old boy. Ladies, remember, you only get out of a dress what you put into it. Thank you.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Charlie, I'm delighted to see you in such a amenable mood today.
A witchable kind?
Well, you know, easy to get along with, likable, gentle.
Oh, well, it's this way, Bergen. A gentle act, a gentle word makes life pleasanter. Just like it says in the song, listen. Gentleness is welcome. You like that?
I do, Charlie, because it's true. True not only of people, but of cigarettes. That's why, for months, all Philip Morris smokers have enjoyed a new cigarette made gentle for modern taste. Born gentle, then refined to special gentleness in the making, this new cigarette comes as a wonderful surprise to veteran smokers, gives today's young smokers just what they require in a cigarette. Enjoy the gentle pleasure, the fresh, unfiltered flavor of new Philip Morris. You'll find it in a smart new red and white and gold package.
Have a gentle Philip Morris. Made gentle for you.
Enjoy new Philip Morris, the gentle cigarette. And now, here is Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. Here he is with Snurge Words for the Birds.
Pardon me. Oh, rubbing alcohol doesn't improve its flavor. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturge, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Francis Bergen, Jack Kirkwood, Gary Crosby, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Sire Rose, Hilda Black, and Zeno Flicker. This is John Neeson speaking.